passage today is going to be John 10, 2 through 5. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. If you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We pray that in this moment, we would be still and know that you are God. Father, I pray that in this time, you would meet us, that your Holy Spirit would be in this place. God, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us through scripture this morning. I pray that you would be with Trey as he brings the word. Father, that it would illuminate sin in our lives, that we would draw closer to you, that we would look more like you. God, we ask all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. We're going to start out with a game today. We're all switching vibes. We are, here's the game. I'm going to say a quote that is from a movie, and I would love for you to shout out if you know what movie that is from. Okay? Easy enough? First one, may the force be with you. Star Wars, great. I was hoping that was a softball. Second one, there's no place like home. Wizard of Oz. That's exactly what you said. Yeah, it may be in there too. I don't know. Does anybody know what she does when she says that? Perfect. All right, last one. I'm not doing the accent. My precious. Lord of the Rings. I thought about doing the accent for that if you've seen Gollum say that, but I decided against that. You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. I actually did practice it last night, and then I was like, nope, I'm not going to do that. This is not as good as I was hoping it was going to be. But why do we know those? Because you've probably seen the movies, or you've at least heard people reference it. We could do the same thing if we did something with music. I know some people are more lyric people. If I said words from a song, you'd be able to pick out where it's from. Or if I did some iconic guitar riff like dun 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 dun. Anybody know what that one is? Isn't it Smoke on the Water? I did it and I wasn't entirely sure. So you guys can fact check me on that one. But if I pulled out a voice too, you would know who it was from. If it was Donald Duck's voice or Goofy's voice or Mickey Mouse's voice, you'd be able to recognize it. You can also tell what I've been watching lately. Why? Because their voice sounds different. And we have no problem thinking that we can come to recognize the voice of somebody that we have never met. But yet when it comes to, for a lot of us who follow Jesus, learning to discern the voice of the Spirit of God who indwells within us, I can't know that one, who is way closer than whatever hypothetical Mickey Mouse character that we're thinking of. Like you know where the lines of these movies come from, it's possible to learn to recognize the voice of God. And maybe you've recognized this in your own life as you've grown in relationship with somebody. As you get closer and closer, you learn what their voice sounds like. Right? If they call you, even if they were calling you from a different phone, you can tell who it is. Why? Because you spent time with them. You can learn to hear their voice. And I don't mean to oversimplify this. There's a lot more complication and discernment and other things in terms of the voice of God. But today we are in our third week of our series on prayer. We started off with talking about movements of prayer. First, talking to God, which we talked about in terms of pre-written prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. Praying it as a way of talking to God, and then using that as a way to also riff off and move into talking with God, which is what we talked about last week. And we talked about four ways of talking with God: confession, gratitude, laments, and petition and intercession. So our challenge for the first week was to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. This past week, it was to say three things that you're grateful for every day that were different is an act of prayer. And this week and next week, we're moving into types of prayer that might be, probably are, very uncomfortable for a number of us, which is listening to God and being with God. Most of us, I think, who have ever prayed have done some talking with God, telling him what was on our mind, asking him to do something. We probably, at some point, if someone taught us to pray, talked to God, recited the Lord's Prayer, or some other type of pre-written prayer. But listening to God is one of those that I think for a lot of us is really uncomfortable. Just before her death, Mother Teresa made a rare television appearance on 60 Minutes. At one point in the interview, the journalist asked her, "When you pray to God, what do you say to God?" She answered, "I don't say anything. I listen." In John chapter 10, we see this word from Jesus. He's talking about himself here. He says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Jesus makes a claim here. If you are his follower, you will know his voice and follow it. Now, okay, you might say, I get that theoretically, like the voice that I hear in here. But can I actually know his voice? So before we dive into some practical things today, I want to list off a couple of reservations that you might have concerning whether or not God still speaks. Not as much to provide an answer to them or a response, but more so just to label the things that I think we're already experiencing. Some of us ask, does God even still speak, or does God speak at all? I think that's a fair question. My basic premise here is that we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, and so God does still speak to us. Second one is one that we're kind of going to dive into, which is, how do I know if it's God and not my own voice talking to myself? Or if it's a dream or something, how do I know it wasn't just like the conglomeration of things that I watched at the end of the day? We'll dive more into this, but long story short, you could categorize it under discernment. Learning to know the voice of God, recognize it, asking him if it's of him, also via practice and risk. Trying it out and seeing. This might not be the best analogy, but I was thinking, maybe I was thinking about Disney because of the Disney characters, but I remember one time I went to Disney as a kid, and I thought it was my dad in front of me, and I ran up and gave a hug to some random man in the line. It was not my dad. Sometimes in terms of learning to listen to the voice of God, it involves a risk of a potential of getting it wrong, which is why a posture of humility is really important. A third reason is that people use the God told me card. And people use it in often very abusive sort of ways. Sometimes it's the explicit, I'm thinking of some kids that I knew when I was in youth group that at the end of youth camp, one of the boy broke up with his girlfriend because God told him to. Now, they were 12. Should they have been dating to begin with? Maybe not. I don't know. But did God speak to him that clearly? I also don't know. That's a trivial example. Other people use it in some form of when someone comes and says, hey, so-and-so did something really wrong. Someone was abusive. Someone harmed someone. Someone's misusing finances. Someone harmed someone. And they say, well, you know, God tells us that we ought to forgive. Pulling the God card. Doing some form of like spiritual abuse. And I want you to note in here first, I just want to say, if that's you and just sensing in here from how out of all the responses, that was the one that everybody just went, oh, I think all of us have heard and seen people take the name of the Lord in vain and use God's name to justify things that are very much not of God. And so if that's you, I'm so sorry. And my hope and prayer for us today as we learn to listen to the voice of God, I think sometimes when we think about listening to God, we mainly think about it in terms of big life decisions. What am I called to do? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to share the gospel with or pray with? And do I even want to do any of those things? But I want you to note in here, in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then after it says, they follow him because they know his voice. Before you go where he has called you to do, recognize who he has called you. Before we get so caught up in wondering where is it that God is leading us to go, we have to ask, do these voices even sound like Jesus? Does this sound like the voice of love? And we see here in this passage that there are stranger voices in here that speak to the sheep. And in verse 10, we go on and it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, and my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It's also worth noting that even the devil quoted scripture. And Jesus rebuked the way that he used it. And so my point is with that, if that's you and you've heard someone, as I have at different times, utilize the God card to justify something that was not very godly, I'm deeply sorry, and my hope and prayer is that you hear the tender, loving voice of God today in this moment. Not as much about what you're supposed to do professionally, but more so about who he says you are. And that he deeply loves you. And as we talked about in the first week with talking to God, our approach to prayer begins with a posture of our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, a posture of intimacy, like a child would refer to their father, a holy sort of reverence, but also an intimacy that he has their best intentions in mind. Another crew of people would be those who have been longing for God to speak and have been showing up in prayer, confessing your sins, crying out to him and asking him to show up, and he feels remarkably silent. And you don't know why. We'll hit on this some too. This can be quite a pain point. My hope is for today that we see that God is present with us, even if it doesn't seem like he's speaking. And for all of us, I invite us to ask this question. What if God actually does want to speak to us? Like, what if? Maybe you don't think he does. I'm going to ask you to suspend that for the next, like, 20 minutes. What if? What if he does? What if he really does lead to, as he says here, a rich and satisfying life, or an abundant life? Not a life without pain, but a rich and satisfying life. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to offer you some ways that God speaks and some comments on them. These are from one of the networks that we're a part of, Practicing the Way. If you're part of our growth groups, we're going to dive deeper into these six ways of listening to God later this week in our growth groups. And then I'm going to give you three reasons why you may not hear from God. Neither of these are exhaustive lists, but I hope that they're helpful. And then I'm going to end with an invitation for us. So the question is, how? How do we hear from God? It's worth saying there's no one size fits all. The way I hear from God may be somewhat differently than you hear from God. God comes to us inside the unique backgrounds of our own lives, our personality, background, stages of life, where we come from. In fact, I would probably argue that most of us hear from God more than we think we do. And so here are some ways that God speaks. One, Sunday school answer, Jesus. The author of the book of Hebrews writes this, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. All other ways of God speaking to us come back to and point to Jesus. So a helpful question you always want to ask if you're discerning whether or not something is of God, does this voice sound like Jesus? Does this voice sound like Jesus? When you mess up, again, doing the same thing that you always mess up doing, does the voice that you hear convict you of sin and lead you to God, or does it declare a message over you that you are a failure? Does the voice that you hear when you're in an argument with someone talk about love, or does it say you should get right with them? Does the voice that you hear sound like Jesus? And how do we know that? We can check in with Scripture. And I think most Christian traditions hold to that God can speak to us through Scripture. Now, there are all sorts of ways to approach Scripture, but there is one particular way that I want to highlight here that monks developed years and years ago. It's called Lectio Divina. Is anyone familiar with that phrase? It means spiritual reading. It's a way of reading Scripture. It's different than Bible study, whereas if in Bible study you're asking, what does the text say and what does it say to the people it was written to, and then how do I apply it now? Lectio Divina asks, how is God coming to me personally through this text? Lectio Divina often involves reading a passage, a short passage, very, very slowly, and sometimes over and over and over again, and asking the Spirit of God to illuminate something to you. Now, this is not asking for new meaning or for God to contradict the Scriptures, but it is asking God to speak to us through it. And this method has been really helpful and powerful for a number of Christians. And you may not have done Lectio Divina before or found it to be something really helpful, but maybe at times in your life there's been a particular biblical story or biblical character or a theme in the Bible that's resonated with something deep within your soul. For me, for example, there's a number of stories with the prophet Elijah that have, at several times in my life, really resonated with me. When I was a kid, I didn't want to die. I wanted to go to heaven, and Elijah goes to heaven in a chariot of fire, so it sounded like the best case scenario, so I wanted to be like Elijah. I had other people in my life not knowing that was something that was like my dream childhood job. At different times in my life, I kid you not, that really was my dream childhood job. I wanted to be a prophet like Elijah. It was not to preach. That was not it. It was strictly to go to heaven in a chariot of fire. Although thinking about a chariot of fire sounds kind of freaky, but I didn't want to die. So, but later on in life, I had people say, offer words to me pertaining to the prophet Elijah. And then when I was walking through a particular dark season of depression, I had a therapist bring up the story in 1 Kings 19 that I'm going to reference later today, where Elijah goes in and prays basically a suicidal prayer. I was like, dang it, I did not want that one. So maybe for you, you haven't done Lectio Divina, but there's been other ways that this has. God has used scripture to speak to you. Now, my assumption is that many Christians live like this is the only way to hear God. Like this is God's word given to us. And so from now on, all you want to know God's voice, you read here. That's it. While I do believe that the biblical canon is closed, I believe that God still speaks, and I've experienced it. While he does not contradict this, he does still speak to us. So here's a couple of ways. One is circumstances. Circumstances of life. Now, this brings up a number of theological differences and interpretations depending on which group of Jesus followers you might be a part of. Some emphasize God's sovereignty or whether he allows everything to happen. Others leave more room for free will or even demonic rebellion. I hold more to that one than I do to the God's lets all the things happen. But different Christians hold to different things. Regardless of where you find yourself, all Christians seem to agree that certain opportunities come from God. God opens up some doors. God seems to close other doors. God seems to give us uniquely different giftings and also different limitations. God speaks to us through the circumstances of our life, like where we were born, what our upbringing was, that God speaks to us through those things. There's a small little book by Parker Palmer called Let Your Life Speak, if you're interested in reading more of that. And if you're also like a 3 on the Enneagram and like to accomplish things, it's short. So it's helpful too. And he wrote this. He said, the soul speaks its truth only under quiet, inviting, and trustworthy conditions. He compared it to a wild animal, tough, resilient, savvy, self-sufficient, and yet exceedingly shy. If we want to tame a wild animal, the last thing we should do is to go crashing through the woods, shouting for the creature to come out. But if we are willing to walk quietly in the woods and sit silently for an hour or two at the base of the tree, the creature we are waiting for may well emerge, and out of the corner of an eye, we will catch a glimpse of the precious wildness we seek. In other words, a lot of us just let our life happen to us, without even stopping to think, to discern, might God be speaking to me through this? Another layer is that of desire. This is learning to listen to God's voice through the desires in your heart. And this, the biblical view of this is remarkably complex. I say remarkably complex. We just fall into one of two categories typically when it comes to the heart. One temptation is to view the heart as only being bad. This stems from the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, which is in the scripture, and I believe that. Also other places like where it talks about our best attempts at righteousness are but filthy rags. But the more dominant temptation that is within culture now would be something akin to trust your heart. If it feels right, then it is right. It is good. The biblical view is a lot more complex. The heart is full of both beauty and ugliness. It's full of both good and bad. Psalms chapter 37, Psalm 37, talks about delighting ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. That as we delight in him, he will cause us to desire new things. So, whenever we have desires, we need to discern them. That doesn't mean we need to necessarily do them, but we need to discern them. For example, one way that I've recently experienced this, there's been something that I've been like praying through and trying to discern. And as I prayed to God and I like submitted my will to him and said, God, your will be done, not mine, I started to notice that I desired one option over another. That's one way that it comes forth. Another one for me personally would be even me being here and preaching. I struggle with social anxiety and never thought I would talk in front of people. Literally yesterday, I was walking through my neighborhood, and I want to meet new people, but I was kind of hoping I wouldn't have to talk to anybody. because it legitimately made me nervous. But yet I feel called to preach the word of God, and I love it. That's very much for me something that's of God. And of course, our desires have been affected by sin, so we need to discern them. Now, this next one I'm going to is prophecy, dreams, and visions. And I know as soon as I say that, this brings up a whole lot of things. Basically, my premise is that God speaks to us through each other. In the scriptures, prophecy is not just like, is not primarily just predicting the future or pronouncing judgment. A lot falls under what the apostle Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, this term for the prophetic is something that in the charismatic tradition, they often refer to a way of learning to pray, to tune yourself to God, opening yourself up to him before praying, and waiting to see if God gives you a word, a picture, an image, plays a short film in front of you, and then offering that word to another person as a potential word from God to be tested against scripture and in community. Now, I think there are varying levels of the gift of prophecy. There's also, I think, an office of the prophet, and if you're interested in any of those types of conversations, I'm happy to have them with you. But for some of us, I recognize that even me saying prophetic is a weird thing for me to say. Basically, what I'm saying is that I mean that God can speak to you through other people. You may not have used the term prophetic, but maybe you have experienced it where you were praying for somebody and something came to your mind that you felt impressed upon you that you ought to share it with them. Or maybe you read through a book and you were like, I don't know why, but I feel like this person really needs this book or this Bible verse, that they really need it. This all would fall under what I think in the scriptures falls under the prophetic. The next one is that of dreams. I'm going for all the weird ones in this one, ones that I say weird, that might be weird for a number of us. I had a professor called Dreams, God's Forgotten Language. If you're asleep for roughly a third of your life, don't you think that God would speak to us? Now, this is a subject for a lot more conversation. If you're interested, I'm happy to have it with you. But both in the New Testament and in the early church, dreams were considered an authoritative way in which God speaks. This is really the case outside of Christianity too. Any of the monotheistic religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, all believe that dreams are a way in which the spiritual realm can interact with us, in some ways because our guards are down. This was more dominantly the view until probably the 18th century with the movement of the Enlightenment and the emphasis on the material over the spiritual, and also when the viewpoint of Aristotle overtook the traditional perspective. This idea of dreams is still held to in the Eastern Orthodox Church and also more in charismatic circles. For me, this has been a way in which God has spoken to me and in which I've encountered some very dark things since I was very young. This has been a way that I sense God speaks to us. And without making it too strange, two simple tips that might help you that I found helpful. If you have a dream, my first question is, does it seem important? I think sometimes dreams are just a conglomeration of all the things. But if you wake up and you're like, huh, I felt a lot of things, maybe pay attention to it. Secondly, notice if there are repeated themes. If home pops up in a number of them, you might be trying to discern something concerning home. If the same person or same feeling keeps popping up, notice and see. Visions are a kind of like a waking dream. And then most pertinent to our practice for today is that of listening prayer, which at the end of this message, I'm going to give you some moments to talk, to practice this. This is simply waiting for God to speak into your mind or your heart, that we have the Holy Spirit within us, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, and that Spirit speaks to us. Now, this brings up a good question. Why does God not speak audibly to us? Thank you for asking. I'm personally not of the persuasion that he can't. Some people might be. There's not necessarily a simple answer, but I want you to think of this in terms of communication. I'm speaking right now. It's coming from my brain, coming out my mouth into the microphone, into the speakers, and then into your ears, and then where is it getting processed? In your brain. So if God can speak directly into your thoughts and imagination, he doesn't necessarily need to pull back the curtains of heaven and speak audibly to you. Now, these thoughts must be discerned, weighed, does this line up with scripture? But in listening prayer, you notice for a word, a picture, a phrase, maybe a short film playing in front of you, a Bible verse, and ask the Lord what he might be up to. And all of this requires what the New Testament calls discernment. Does it sound like Jesus? And this discernment is both a work of the Spirit within us and a skill we develop over time. And it's important to note, it's something that is done in community, not simply alone. Some people get in real trouble when they just try to do this one alone. So a couple reasons you may not be hearing from God. And I'm going to add one that's not going to be on the screen. First one is what St. John of the Cross referred to a dark night of the soul, which is where God's absence seems a lot more present than his nearness. It's where God seems far and not close, and where it's not for a lack of confession, it's not for a lack of faith, it's just for whatever reason you are in a period of time where God feels really silent. John of the Cross referred to silence as God's first language. Don't know how y'all feel about that one. We also see that in the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, where God shows up and he's not in all these big ways that he'd just shown up in with a pillar of fire. It says that there was, like, I think it was a windstorm and then an earthquake and a fire, but God was not in those. He was in a thin, small voice, or you might translate it a gentle whisper or the sound of gentle silence. And so if that's you, his lack of speaking doesn't indicate a lack of his presence. As I was working through this message, I just got this picture that of, I guess, my wife and I in our relationship. When we first started dating, it was really intimidating when there were moments of silence. I feel like you need to fill the void. But over time, it becomes increasingly comfortable just to sit and be with each other. That might be too easier for two introverts than it is for two extroverts. I'm not sure. But it is, Carly's saying yes, for sure. But there is a level of intimacy that can be found just in the presence without the speaking. Another reason that you might not be hearing from God is distraction. C.S. Lewis, in his book Screwtape Letters, which is basically tales from, I think it's Demon Wormwood, talking about plans for the attack of humanity, he described the kingdom that the enemy was trying to make as a kingdom of noise. Dr. Archibald Hart, in his book, Thrilled to Death, talked about this notion of anhedonia, which is the inability to experience pleasure. Used to be associated with people who have depression, and still would be, but he makes a case that a large percentage of us now struggle with anhedonia because we have been so stimulated that we've lost the ability to experience pleasure. That because we constantly go to things to get a dopamine hit at the first sign of boredom, we need more and more and more and more to feel any level of pleasure. The average American spends around 2.5 hours a day on social media, around 7 hours and 4 minutes looking at screens each day. A.J. Swoboda, in his book After Doubt, said, "Modern existence systematically fills the tiny cracks of inactivity." You feel bored? What do? Pull out your phone. Go to a red light? What do you see everybody doing? Pulling out their phone. Go to a doctor's office? What do? What do you see people doing? Pulling out their phone. Waiting in line? Pulling out your phone. At the first moment of boredom, we take out our phone and we look at them. And I'm not saying that phones are bad. That's not what I'm saying. A.J. Swoboda said, though, that what we suffer from is a kind of reflective poverty. That I would argue we distract ourselves into failing to live the life that God has for us. I get this image that a lot of us, it's kind of akin to walking around with headphones. And then getting mad at God for not speaking to us. But think about it practically. If you were to come home and you're married and you come home to your spouse, or if you're living with anyone and you come home and to hang out with them, and then you put in headphones and you're staring down at your phone, and then you're mad at your partner or your friend for not speaking to you. What if the problem is not God? What if the problem is us not listening? It's like, I mean, it's so convicting because I think the reason that a lot of us don't hear from God is because, frankly, we don't even really try. And we're addicted to our phones, to social media, to Netflix. I don't think any of those things are inherently bad. Psalm 46:10 says, "To be still and know that I am God." Martin Luther wrote a famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," that is based on Psalm 46. And as I was researching this passage, several people made a case that a more literal interpretation of "be still and know that I am God" is "throw down your weapons and know that I am God." Which leads to the third reason, which is sin. Now, that's the big biblical word. Now, I'm going to do this in kind of two ways. The first reason that some of us may not hear from God is because we have been sinned against. It's not necessarily simply because you have unrepentant sin in your heart, but because you have been sinned against. Someone has harmed you, inflicted something in the name of God upon you. It makes you struggle to believe that God is good. And in some ways, it puts a blockage on you being able to hear from God. Without diving into too many details, I remember I had one leader at one point in my life who was speaking a lot of truth into me and my vocation, what I was called to do, and then was trying to emotionally manipulate me into a relationship with them. And when I told them I wasn't interested, they all of a sudden were questioning my calling and my vocation, and a number of other things. There was a lot of not-so-healthy things that were in there. But for a solid year, I didn't feel like I could hear from God and where he was leading me to go. And I was, like, firmly convinced in what I thought the Lord was leading me to do. And it was, like, God's voice seemed clearer than it ever had. And then all of a sudden, gone. I started to be able to hear from him more as I started to process that with someone else and someone else say, that was wrong and not of God. So that's one reason. Another reason, though, for a lot of us is it's our own sin. If I might put it in a different way, you might not hear from God because you don't want to. I just want you to imagine, theoretically, if God pulled back the clouds of heaven and spoke to you audibly, and without a shadow of a doubt, you knew this is God, would you do what he said to do? My assumption is that you are probably thinking, it depends. In which case, I would say you probably, at least part of you, does not want to hear from God. We want to hear from God to use him as some form of magical incantation to get what we want or to lead us when we have to make a big decision. But following God's voice is not just about going in these big decision type things. It's about learning to trust him and follow him. Ignatius of Loyola defined sin as an unwillingness to trust that what God wants for me is only my deepest happiness. A lot of us don't trust God, that we don't trust that what he has for us is actually good. And I get a sense that a lot of us have abandoned things that we know are of God simply because we don't like them. Not because we don't think that they're of God. Why would God speak to you if you're not going to listen? Maybe he is speaking to you and you don't listen. And it's important here to note that when we talk about listening, in the Old Testament in particular, listening was not just an act of hearing it with your ears. It involved doing it. So for example, if I'm looking at my son and I'm telling him, listen to me, don't hit. I don't want him to just hear it. I want him to not hit, right? When God speaks, he doesn't just want us to hear it. He wants us to obey and do what he says. And it's worth noting that many of us only attempt to discern God's voice when we face a major decision and are scared of the future. And if that's you, I think that's a wonderful time to come to God and ask him. But God isn't some form of genie in the bottle or like something that we can use as some form of divination or magic. When we sit down and listen to Jesus, our goal is not to get divine fortune cookies about which way our life will go. It's to follow the invitations of our good shepherd, wherever he may lead, even when, like in Jesus' own story, the Father calls us towards pain and not away from it. So this past week, I drove up to Asbury University for like an hour and a half on Monday. And I was only there for like an hour and a half. And if you've been on social media, it's kind of rampant on everything social media right now. And I just spent kind of my time reading, thinking, processing, writing, listening, prayer, stream of consciousness, seeing what all came out. And one of the things that I noticed when I was there is that the presence of the Lord felt very calming to me, like therapeutic for my soul. And increasingly, I've been in a place where I, more so than I ever have, I want God to reveal any sin in my life, to let me know, because I don't think it's what's best for me. And I want to go where he leads me to go. But I think for a lot of us, the presence of the Lord feels really threatening because we don't actually want to go where he wants us to go. And so I sense that perhaps for some of us in the room, even as I'm talking about this, you're feeling some form of resistance. In a moment, I'm going to give you time to bring that before the Lord. So here's the invitation as I invite the band to come back up. And then I'm also in the band, so I'll come back up in just a minute. But it's always weird to say I'm going to invite the band to come back up when I'm playing. You know, it's just weird. Here's the invitation. Repent and believe the good news. I used to think that repentance was, I don't know, just like a big guilt trip. I always felt like I needed to do it, and I just felt really guilty about it. But I've come to see that God actually has something better. The reason I want to repent of my sin is not just because I don't like my sin. It's because I like what God has way better. And I want to trust him, even if it's very different than what I think I should do. I want him. I want his voice. And there's no like magical way that we can just like summon an extra special presence of God, but there is a sense in which God comes where he is wanted. Do you even want to hear the voice of God? Would you listen if you knew it was him? And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 120 seconds, which is also known as 2 minutes. But 120 seconds just feels a little better. To do a listening prayer, start by confessing your sin. Bring it before the Lord. And maybe for you, that is just, God, frankly, I don't even want to hear your voice. Just tell him that. Start with that and just see what happens. And say, would you change my heart? Help me even think about wanting you. And then take a breath and pray something simple like, Father, or Jesus, or come Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy. And then ask God to silence the voice of the enemy in your mind, to clear the air around you, to shield and guard your imagination, and ask the Spirit of God to speak to you. And open your mind and heart to listen. He may come to you in a word or phrase or scripture, a thought, a metaphor, a picture in your mind, a short film, kind of a series of pictures in your mind, a feeling in your heart, a sensation in your body. If nothing comes, don't judge yourself or God. Just give thanks for his love and try again later. Our job is just to be present to God and to listen to his voice. And also, as you do this, you will feel a lot of distractions and things causing your mind to go in a different direction. Take every single one of those just as an opportunity to turn your face back to God. Don't get angry with yourself. It's just kind of part of the practice of learning to listen to God, and take it as an opportunity to turn your face back towards him. So what I'm going to do is, it's the instructions are up on the screen. Take 120 seconds. Carly's going to pad and pray. And let me just start out by praying this over you. Come, Holy Spirit. God, for those in the room that have been seriously hurt by people using your name to inflict damage, Lord, I pray that they hear your tender whisper of love. For those of us that doubt that what you have is good for us, may we get a glimpse today that what you have actually is good. Pray you help us trust you. God, I just ask that in a way that only you can, you speak to us in this moment. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for watching the service. We pray that it blessed you and helped you grow closer to God. If you are in the Nashville area, we'd love for you to join us sometime. If you're not in the Nashville area, we'd love to help you get connected with the local church if you don't already have one. We pray that God blesses you this week, and that he grows you closer in your relationship with him and with your community, that he uses you in a powerful way to be a vessel of his good news in everywhere that you go. May God bless you.